Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. So there was really only one topic of conversation that Liz and I wanted to speak about this week, and that is Roni 2020, Corona.
I haven't heard that one yet. Roni 2020.
The new presidential campaign.
Well, or the new taking Coney over the 2012.
World. Oh, yeah. Coney, wow.
Yeah, apparently people online are calling it the Roni, which, you know what, we have to laugh about.
Right, like we are not trying to make light of this. In fact, we've been taking it really seriously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with everything serious, you almost have to find humor in it in order to process what's happening and in order to stay positive on a day to day and not completely sink into this negativity that's surrounding us.
Agreed. And I think like there's a difference between taking things seriously and being too like cynical and pessimistic, and then there's also a difference between being able to laugh about things and then actually being irresponsible. So like I think that people should be more conscious of staying inside, like, you know, not going out to bars and stuff. Like, that's not funny, but I do think the internet memes and stuff are pretty funny, and I'm proud to say it. Like, I don't care. I don't think that it's harming anyone. I think the harm is when people don't take it seriously, but
absolutely
being able to laugh about it is not that,
for sure. TikTok has been my lifesaver.
Totally.
Over the last couple of days. I mean, it is so funny because although people are taking it seriously, of course, and there are measures that you have to take in order to stay healthy, there's also ways that you can laugh about it. For example, someone made a TikTok and they were like, you should not be touching door handles during this time. Here's an alternative. And they like open their mouth and they like
open the door with their mouth.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's so dumb, but it's so funny.
I saw one because a lot of people unfortunately had to leave campuses, and like people I know aren't going to graduate normally, which is very sad. But I saw a TikTok that was like, this is how 2020 graduation is going to be. And it was someone who made all emojis of people, and they would move the emoji across the screen like so that they were getting their diploma and walking across
That's
the screen.
Funny.
And I thought it was hysterical.
This guy, Snarky Mark or something, Snarky Max, whatever. He always, I don't know if you've seen him. He pretends to be a teacher, and he's like, the level in this room is astronomical.
Yeah.
And he the other day he made one, and it was like graduation
online.
And it was like, hi, who's on the line? And he was like, Janelle, you may now accept your diploma. Please send a hand wave to acknowledge a handshake. It was just so funny.
I saw one of him where, I don't know if it was the same one, where he was like, is the Ethernet working?
Yeah.
Am I connected?
Yeah, same one.
So that's really funny. And I think like, I have so many emotions, and actually I want to say I was one of the first, like, I will admit I was one of the first people to be like, I think this is overblown. I don't even think I thought it was overblown. I'm very anti-group think. I hate when like people get in groups and everyone just echoes off of each other and it gets worse and worse. So we get more scared and more scared. And so I was one of the first people that was like, I don't know, like, we don't know what's going to happen. And to some extent, I think that's still kind of true. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. We have to take all the precautions. But I really like had to learn the hard way that the way that I was handling the situation like wasn't necessarily good. I think it's not good to be alarmist, but it's okay to be like, actually this is a problem. And I know that this came out sort of not like in any serious or bad way, but I didn't even realize that like the way that I was kind of talking about it was like, you know, we're gonna be fine, and I think a lot of the deaths related to this have been vulnerable populations, but you have older parents, so like that is a vulnerable population, and so the way that like some of us have been talking about it, which I think is okay, we're allowed to like have grace for ourselves and forgive as long as we're like making positive steps, but the way that people were and still are talking about it can be very detrimental to other people's actions. Like, if you're constantly saying like, we're gonna be fine, no big deal, and you just go out and about and do normal things, that can actually have real consequences.
Right. I think at the beginning what was bothering me was not with you, but just the way that our society was talking about it, was that there was like this nonchalant feel where people were like, we're young, we're healthy, like it's fine, everyone needs to chill, everyone needs to take a step back. And it's like, on one hand, I appreciate that because we are going into a state of panic as a world, not even as a country, but as the world is going through this together and we're all kind of panicking. And on one hand, it is good to be like, we're going to be okay. Like, everyone take a deep breath, because your mental health can also affect your physical health. Like, yeah. I'll get into this later, but it's true that if you start believing that you're sick, you can develop some symptoms. Like, of course, if you have a fever, that's a different story. But, you know, if you are like, oh my gosh, shortness of breath, like, that could very well maybe a symptom of anxiety. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I was upset because my parents are older. My own immunity is not great. Mm-hmm. I have an autoimmune disorder myself. And there are a ton of people I know our age who, some people have diabetes. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, there's a million things that you could have. But it did bother me a little bit when our country was just, whatever, it's fine. Like, millennials and Gen Z, we were like, whatever, it's all chill. But I was like, why don't we have to be thinking about everyone? Because mm-hmm. we can't just be in this for ourselves. There are a lot of people out there who could really, really be poorly impacted by this. So yeah, it's important to think about others and to do what you can for the greater good of our country and our world.
Yeah. I mean, I think also one of the things that I do like about the, not the conversation of, you know, oh, we have to like, we're going to be fine. I think there's like a piece of that you can take home and like mm-hmm. actually calm yourself down, which is
totally,
yes, less vulnerable populations are likely able to get through the illness pretty much unscathed.
Yeah.
So that can help us to calm ourselves down in the sense that while we have to be conscientious of other people, if we're thinking about the worst case scenario for ourselves and like we start to think about mortality and stuff, that can prevent us from doing anything productive and absolutely. It sends us into total panic mode. So I think being able to say to ourselves, yes, I may not be subject to like the worst outcome of this illness, but I have to do my part to make sure that like I'm not, I think the people are using the word vector, mm-hmm. vector, like for other or like vessel. I don't know. People aren't that you're not a carrier of the disease from mm-hmm. yourself to a more vulnerable person. But I think it's acceptable and reasonable to say like, I might be okay. So yeah. if I start to exhibit symptoms, then like, I know what to do. I know how to like self quarantine, right. notify everyone that I need to notify. And like that, you know, our generation will, many of us will be able to get through it.
Totally.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it is definitely important to be smart, but to be rational.
Yeah.
So it's good to be rational and not over panic. If you yourself, you know that you're a relatively healthy young person. You know, if you're under the age of 60 and you don't have an immunity issue, like you'll most likely be totally fine. But again, it's important to be smart about it and remember those around you. One thing that I did want to talk about was this whole notion of uncertainty.
Yeah.
It's so relevant to our podcast, the mental health world, anxiety, because anxiety in a nutshell is like, well, at least for me, trying to control outcomes and the future and trying to like grasp what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've never seen anything like this where we're all forced to remember that like we don't have control over everything
right.
as much as we want to. And it can be a good thing because you have to release some of the control and you know that, you know, you can't do everything perfectly in life, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it can be a negative because for those of us that have a need and a desire to control, it can be really scary to not know what's going to happen.
Right. I actually saw a really interesting quote that I think I told you and our friends about, which was a rabbi talking about like why everyone's freaking out. And this might make, I know that this can come off like more anxiety, but for me, it was really comforting because he basically said, we're so uncertain and like that's what scares us and we don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 months, but we never did. Mm-hmm. Like we had he used the phrase illusion of certainty. Like mm-hmm. we had the idea that we would know what was going to happen in 3 months because we could put stuff on our calendar and not have like such a big over looming thing like hanging over our heads. And now we don't have the illusion of certainty,
mm-hmm.
but we never knew what was going to happen in 3 months. In fact, 3 months ago, we had tons of things planned,
mm-hmm.
and now we're canceling things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have proof right there that we never knew what was going to happen. And, you know, when you're going through like normal life, quote unquote, people die, like mm-hmm. you don't get accepted to a job, you don't get accepted to a college, you lose a friend, you have to move unexpectedly. Like, there's just things in our lives that we can never control. And I think this is a very obvious representation that, like, we were never able to control anything.
Totally.
And that's a tough pill for people who have anxiety to swallow. But it's also, it's interesting because I think it's sort of like, it's not evening everyone out, but I was talking to Chris earlier, remarking about how a lot of the people in my life who are typically so anxious about everything, like constantly watching the news, constantly scared of this, that, and the other thing, a lot of those people in my life are fine. Like, they're just, I called one of my great aunt. She's one of those people who just, like, always watches the news, is always worried about this, that, and the other thing. And I called her and I was like, you know, I'm a little concerned that they might, you know, stop travel in New York and shut down New York. And she was like, you know, I think that the next several weeks are going to be hard, but I think it's going to get better after that. And I was like, waiting for her to usually mm-hmm. be like, this is that, we're doomed, everything's doomed. My dad, who can sometimes be anxious, but he's been like the voice of reason in all of this. He's also a doctor, so I think it helps that he's like, you'd think that maybe doctors would be more anxious, but I think he's actually, because he's like dealing with it front on, he like is seeing the actual mm-hmm. outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's been helpful for him, as opposed to people who are just like reading one thing that comes from another person, that comes from another person, and all these numbers can just be very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had a similar experience, or if like your yeah. anxiety has been worse or better. Like,
yeah, no, my anxiety was pretty high yesterday.
Right.
I started panicking because I felt a shortness of breath. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of realized that my brain was like playing tricks on me mm-hmm. because I FaceTimed my parents, who are usually the planners. They're anxious. They, you know, my parents, they don't like unexpected things happening.
Right.
But my parents have been so calm and so rational, and they're being really smart. Like, they're staying indoors. They're, you know, they only leave if they have to go to the grocery store to buy food, and they're washing their hands a million times a day, but they're being really rational, and they're just like, we're going to be okay. You know, it's going to be fine. And I was like, I'm scared. Like, I feel like I have a shortness of breath. And they were like, do you have a fever? I was like, no. They're like, do you have chills at all? I was like, no. They like kind of walked me through it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of realized that I wasn't actually feeling symptoms of corona. I was like maybe feeling an itchy throat because of allergies, or maybe I was just anxious. Yeah, I felt an itchy throat and I felt shortness of breath. And I was like, oh, shoot, like, what does this mean? I have a bad autoimmune system. Like, I definitely caught it. But my parents kind of walked me through it. And then at the end of the conversation, I realized, like, A, this could be my brain just like developing symptoms out of fear that it's happening. You know, like, you can actually like give yourself,
yeah, what it's called, yeah,
yeah. And then B, like, just because the coronavirus is happening doesn't mean that all other things suddenly don't exist, like colds, allergies,
totally,
like regular sickness, like the, you know. And also, like, I woke up this morning and I felt totally fine, and then the minute I remembered the coronavirus was a fear of mine, I started feeling the symptoms again.
I think it's also like, this is a scary thing to talk about, but it's possible that people are going to get it. And I, so mm-hmm. on the one hand, I want to be like, it could be anything else, but I also don't want people who are listening to this who might get it to be like, but they didn't talk about like if I actually get it,
right?
And so I obviously want to be careful when speaking about it. And I think this is a sort of ongoing thing, and there is definitely uncertainty when it comes to testing and like government procedures of making sure that everyone's okay and quarantined when they need to be. But I've talked to my dad so many times over the phone, and we have a friend who was concerned about her symptoms, and my dad was like, well, okay, is she home? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, she needs to stay in her room or stay in her home and take necessary procedures to make sure the other people in her house are taking care of themselves. She told us her parents were wearing masks. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's scary because it's uncertain, and like, we don't know what the outcome of this virus is going to be. And I don't want to be one of those people who's minimizing by being like, well, the flu. But at the same time,
right,
we as a country, as a world, go through things that there's no cure for
mm-hmm.
all the time. So I think knowing that, like, as far as I know, that a lot of, again, I'll repeat myself, a lot of young, healthy people are able to get through it. So knowing that the proper procedure is like isolating yourself from other people, then you can play your part in keeping everyone else safe and not like panicking if you think mm-hmm. that you're actually having the symptoms, because I think that panicking won't help. And there's a lot of people who might come down with the illness, so you don't have to necessarily mm-hmm. feel alone. Granted, you might have to be physically alone.
Yeah.
But we're so lucky that we live in a time where like we can connect to other people online. We can connect Absolutely. To other people through TikTok, YouTube. Like, another thing I wanted to say was like, maybe the reason that the older people in our lives are having an easier time with this is because I think we as a generation are very coddled. Like, sure, that there've been some scary things that have happened during our lifetime. Like, I was very young when 9/11 happened. So are you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really remember it. But like, my great aunt who I was talking about, and even your parents, like, they lived through the Cold War. Like, yeah. There have been times when they've gone through stuff that's so scary and they have no idea what's going to happen. And like, you know, mm-hmm. thank God they've come out the other end. And so mm-hmm. it's kind of like, this isn't our first rodeo with right. something that's very scary. And right. and also, they didn't have social media. So like, do I think the media like is making this more than it is? No. Do I think that we have to be cautious of how much media we're consuming
yeah.
because we're scaring ourselves?
Right.
Yes.
I think there's definitely a balance. So getting the information that you need on what to do if you're feeling symptoms, how to react, you know, what to do, and also like how to look for symptoms, that is very important, and you should be aware of them and you should have the necessary information. And we also should be staying up to date with what's going on in the world.
Right.
But there's a balance, because on the other hand, too much of it is going to, you're going to psych yourself out.
Totally.
Which is what's been happening to me.
Yeah.
Again, like, I want to reiterate, like, I don't have a fever. I don't even feel sick.
Right.
I'm not even coughing. Like, I'm not doing anything, but it's the amount of media that I'm consuming about Corona is just making me believe that, you know, maybe I do have the symptoms, or like, right. I walked up the stairs the other day and I couldn't breathe that well. Like, why is that? And then I was like, oh wait, like, I haven't gone to yoga in a couple, like,
right.
I'm maybe just out of shape. Like,
right.
there are so many other factors, or there could be so many other things happening that aren't Corona. So it's important to stay rational and to limit your time consuming media, because it can make things worse.
Yeah. And I think like being able to select appropriate media is good. I talked to my dad a bit and he said that going to cdc.gov is the best like source for everything mm-hmm. that you should do, ways that you can keep yourself safe, what to do if you feel like you're exhibiting symptoms. So that's been like a really helpful thing. Also, I wanted to touch on, it's interesting that my therapist reached out and said they're only doing virtual
same
sessions. And so well, I wanted
not to, only, but I'm going to do it.
Right. I've so like if you're comfortable to. Doing that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because Sarah and I partner with BetterHelp. And I think now is a really good time for people to either
use those tools.
Yeah, to use those tools, because I think that honestly, like, it's just, it's funny that we happen to partner with an agency that does like virtual therapy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people that we see in person are moving to virtual therapy. Yep. So I think that that's a way that you can kind of address your anxiety without adding the fear of having to go somewhere to deal with it. Because I think, unfortunately, at this time, a lot of the things that we use to keep ourselves sane are not available to us. I don't want to say sane. The things that we use to keep ourselves grounded are not available to us. Like yoga, I know a lot of studios are getting closed or people are opting not to go. Like, I personally love going to bar classes and stuff, and that's that type of exercise is not available to me right now. So being able to speak to someone online, I think, is a really great thing.
Absolutely. I think we're lucky to have as many resources like online and mm-hmm. digital. Being able to live in the digital world right now has been really helpful. Like, even just connecting with my parents, talking to my family members, talking to friends. It's like, you know, this morning I FaceTimed with, we did a group FaceTime, my mom in New Jersey, mm-hmm. my cousin in Portugal, and my other cousin in France. And we did a group FaceTime and we were like, how's everyone doing? Wellness check. Like, we wanted to just like laugh a little bit and also check on each other. And I'm so grateful that we had the opportunity to speak face to face like that, but online, because it really, like, it's comforting to know that you're all in it, going through it together.
Right.
But yeah, going back to BetterHelp, we're lucky to live in a time where that's available to us, because, and you know what, Bill the criminal, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, he addressed the nation the other day, or addressed New York the other day. Well, it was mm-hmm. on TV, so mm-hmm. I don't know who was watching it.
You don't know how many people had yeah. access. Got it.
But he spoke on TV the other day, and I'm actually so grateful to him that he addressed the mental health part of it.
Uh-huh.
Because who knows, 20 years ago, they may have been like, everyone stop panicking, like it's going to be fine. But he was smart in saying, if you need to speak to a counselor, that's completely okay. It's encouraged, and there are many resources for you, and here they are. Call this number, text this number. I'm so grateful that we live in a world now where we're able to do that, because it's okay to need therapy right now. This is a really scary thing that's happening, and yes, we laugh about it, but people should be able to talk it out, and yeah. they should be able to talk about how they're feeling. So going back to BetterHelp, you know,
we like I said, we partner with BetterHelp, so you can get 10% off your first month of service by going to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine. So
it's very, very important that we offer that yeah. to our listeners. Again, not because it's going to benefit us, but yeah. we want to provide an outlet for you all listening.
I think there's probably a lot of people who, you know, had listened to us weeks ago and they're like, this sounds interesting, I think I'd like to speak to someone. And I think now a lot of people are like, oh boy, I really need to speak to someone because I'm feeling this way and I don't know what to do about it. And mm-hmm. sometimes I think there's a sense of like, I'm scared of talking to other people about it because I don't want to make them scared and I don't want to make them panic. So mm-hmm. I think that's a really good scenario for potentially totally. Speaking to a counselor.
Totally. Right. Because sometimes when we're anxious and we vent to our friends who are also anxious, you can just add on to each other's anxieties, right. which is why professional help can sometimes be the best option
yep.
because you're speaking to someone who can give you an unbiased answer and just be there for complete support and holding space for you to talk without judgment or without adding to your anxiety.
Agreed. And I wanted to take a chance to talk about some of the things that have helped us during this time. Yep. One of them, I know we shared a bunch on our Instagram, some like just coping strategies. And one of them I don't think mentioned was being able to like thank the people who are doing a lot of work or being able to help others. So for instance, I was just considering, I wonder how, like, I'm sure this is really can be taxing for mental health professionals. That doesn't mean they can't do their job and they're still being such a great resource for people. But it's just important that like when you are speaking with people who are taking on a lot of this burden, whether that be your therapist, a doctor, like I thanked my IT person at work because he spent so much time setting everyone up with laptops and people were constantly calling him with issues. And so I just said, like, thank you for the work you always do, but especially now because I know that like everyone's kind of freaking out and it's pretty thankless.
Yeah.
And I think he was appreciative of that. Thank you. And I just think like sometimes when we are able to like acknowledge the things that other people are doing, or if someone comes to us for help, that won't make us like feel worse necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think it actually will make us feel better because it takes us out of our own headspace and we're able to like be a comfort to other people. I think that's how we feel about this podcast a lot of the time too.
Absolutely.
Like when we talk to other people about what we're experiencing or we're trying to help other people, it can help us feel better ourselves.
Adding on to the coping strategies that mm-hmm. we put together. So Liz and I, you know, the way we went about this post that we did on Instagram
yeah.
was we kind of talked through like, what have we been doing and what do we know can help?
Yeah.
So for example, reading, I haven't really been reading much, even though I know it helps me in times of anxiety.
Yeah.
But you've been reading and yeah. that's been helping you.
Yeah. I think the good thing about reading is like it really forces you to put more of your brain onto one activity as opposed to having your brain divided between like, I don't know, sometimes when you're watching stuff on Instagram, like your brain is brought toward other things that might not be helpful for you to see. But when you're reading, like you're kind of forced to use most of your brain to focus. So that's been really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know one of the things you suggested was yoga or like slow breathing was a good thing. I think, mm-hmm. Yeah, like a lot of yoga studios are not open. People don't want to go to them, but you can do so much from your
right.
house or apartment.
Right. Yeah. So I work at Core Power Yoga
yeah.
and the studios are still open, but they are modifying, you know, mm-hmm. The maximum people in a class now is 15. Usually mm-hmm. it's 32.
Yeah.
So that everyone has ample space. They're modifying the class schedule so that all of the teachers don't need to come in
right.
all the time. But they're also providing free online classes.
Nice.
So I've loved to see what corporations are doing. It's just, it's so special to see people providing like something for like
alternatives.
Alternatives or like services for free. It's just, I feel like the world is like coming together in a nice way. I'm not trying to be that person that's like,
no,
this is positive because it's bringing us together.
But no, but I agree with you.
It's a good result of what the negative that's happening. It's a good result of it is that we're seeing people come together and we're seeing people supporting others in new ways. So yeah, I think that yoga, stretching, breathing, it's all very important. And then also another one that Liz and I both loved that we talked about was writing down scenarios. I know you briefly touched on this earlier, but my therapist has told me this is like one of the tools that she's given me with my anxiety in general.
Yeah.
And it's really helpful, like physically writing down all of the possible scenarios that might happen, because I know, at least with me, my anxiety always goes to one outcome every time. It always ends with like, well, they don't like me. Like in my own anxieties, it's always like, okay, well, it's always going to end with me being alone.
Right.
So writing down every possible scenario, being really rational with yourself and being like, okay, even if you don't believe it's going to happen, writing down what could happen can help your brain process different scenarios.
Yes. And I think like a lot of our minds are going to apocalyptic outcomes. And I think if we're able to sit down and say, okay, maybe it's 4 weeks of the virus goes up a little bit and then the curve flattens and then it goes down. And then as a nation, like we have to be more careful. But, you know, like there's just so many outcomes that could mm-hmm. happen. And I think we're not able to focus on them, but being able to write them down and think them through would be really helpful for people, because we're all already building scenarios and they're not good ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So it's been a helpful one. I know we had touched a little bit earlier on how TikTok's been really helpful for you.
Love TikTok.
We talked about that, like TikTok, YouTube. I actually think now is a great time for content creators. Like obviously if they're, you know, if they plan vacations, that might not be ideal, but there's so many people on TikTok now making more, or there's a lot of, I've seen a lot of Instagrammers who I usually think give like, you know, beauty fashion content. They're still giving that, but they're also doing a lot of like great stuff to do while you're at home. Mm-hmm. Productive activities like journaling, making mood boards, like mm-hmm. making vision boards, writing down things you're grateful for. Like I've been really impressed, honestly, kind of what you're saying about corporations with the way a lot of the people are handling this with their platforms. Granted, there's always people saying stupid stuff, but yeah. I've just been really impressed with the way that people who I don't even think usually put out like mental health or self-care content, the way that they're doing that now. I will say, I think that yes, it's not good to be like oh well like this is all positive, because it's not, it's scary, but I do think it's good, because just to acknowledge that I've been really impressed with a lot of humanity the past couple of days, and the way that we've all kind of come together in certain ways, whether it be on the internet, or of course there's those videos in Italy, which the sound is fake, but the event is not. Yes. So
wait, what? Oh, that upsets me.
I know. So I posted this video of, there are people like who are, Italy's on lockdown, so people are quarantined, but so many of them have balconies and they all go out to their balconies and sing songs together. And there was one that really happened, the singing on balconies. But there was,
I heard about that.
There was one that I saw that was like, everyone was singing Bitch Better Have My Money by Rihanna. And I was like, this is lit. And this is my favorite thing I've ever seen. And I shared it. And someone responded like so graciously, being like, I love this too, but this is from another video. And it was a separate video where a bunch of kids at Howard University were protesting.
I was going to say, because
there was no way. No,
their accents were too good.
Right.
That's what I was thinking. Like, when I heard it, I was like, they don't have any Italian accents.
But I looked past that, because so many times people sing American songs, like the Beatles, they never sounded British in their songs. You know what I mean? So I was like, I believed it when I heard
it.
Anyway, regardless, I think that's also funny. Like the fact that people are literally doing it to every artist, like Katy Perry, Cher. They're look, these people are all singing Cher's songs, and they take sound from like arena concerts or groups of people singing, and they put it against, and literally everyone responds. Katy Perry's like, humanity is just so beautiful, but it's like, that's not really what they were singing.
Oh my still, gosh, that is so funny.
I was annoyed, but still, like people are out on their decks like singing, and it's just, it's like funny.
When
like,
I first saw that you posted that video, in my head when I heard Italians on their balcony singing, I was envisioning all of them going, you know what I mean?
They probably didn't sound that good, but yes.
No, that wasn't even good. That was like so bad, but
I was like, yes, Pavarotti, of course.
That's like they're singing like Andrea Bocelli.
Right.
Is that his name?
I think that's a woman. And I think she's American, but no. She's like sings Italian songs.
No.
There's, I don't know.
That man, Andrea Bocelli. Must look this up.
Yeah. Andrea Bocelli. He spells it like Andreas.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Andrea Bocelli. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool.
I was like,
Cool, cool. No, you were right. Cool, cool.
Yeah. So I thought they were going to be singing like an Italian ballad. I didn't realize they were. And then I saw they were singing Bitch Better Have My Money. And I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And so I'm like, I'm disappointed that it's not legit. But it's still cool that they were all singing together outside of their balconies.
And we would do, like, they sang an Italian song. Like, maybe we would all stand on our balconies and sing Bitch Better Have My Money. Right. Like, who's to say?
Right. Who's to say? We're not Italian, but if we were.
Right.
I'm actually really sad for Italy right now.
I know. It's like, it's really scary. But I think that video was, like, a good example of the way that people are kind of coming together in times of crisis and just, like, unprecedented crisis. But, mm-hmm. like, it's, like, a corny statement. But it's true that the human spirit can't be, like, damaged, you know, like, unfortunately, there have been some deaths in Italy, and there have been several deaths in Italy, and there's a lot of people getting sick, but, like, it forces people to kind of realize, like, what's important, and important there is, like, staying inside, staying healthy, and containing the virus, and also being able to, like, just continue, like, you don't have to continue as normal, like, with you, like, you would with jobs and going to restaurants and stuff, but you continue living and, like, being human. And to me, like, being human is not just live, like, is not just staying alive, it's like thriving. I hate that, like, I hate that phrase, but it's like being able to
living
and, like, being free. Like, they're in isolation, but there's so much freedom to, like, express yourself through dance. And, like, I don't know, I think we've lived through so much, as humans have lived through so much, like, the inability to access so much culture. Like, there have been times in, like, during World War II when everyone was, like, not only were they isolated and they feared imminent, like, you know, battles and stuff, but they, like, also had books and everything taken away from them. So I think it's okay to be like, yes, this is really scary and we need to take precaution from what's happening in Italy, what happened in China, but also saying, what do we have now that we didn't have before? Like, how might this turn out differently from our worst case scenario in our brain? I think you and I had a conversation about, like, how do we, like, incorporate faith into this at all? Because it's really easy to lose faith. But I think one of the things we were talking about was, like, this is sort of I took it as not a message, but, like,
about to start
a reminder that, like, how many times do we wish we canceled plans? Do we wish we could just be on our phones, watch TV and stuff? And now, like, we're being forced to do that. And we're like, I want anything but this.
Right.
Like, I want to be able to hang out with people, go on vacation, go, like, hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
And we can't. And this is, like, a very scary and harsh reminder of that. Not reminder, but, like, message. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think that it's never been clear. Also, in addition to what you're saying, it's never been clear how important. Of course, everyone knows health is important. But sometimes I think our society, in the whole world, sometimes loses perspective, and things that shouldn't be that important are important.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of bag do you have? Right. Or
how many Instagram followers? How many Instagram do you have?
The likes.
How much money do you make?
Exactly. And it's interesting how at a time like this, luxury retail has dropped.
Because no one cares.
Losing so much money because suddenly, now that health is in question for everyone, what's important is really, like, becoming clear, and that's that with health you have everything that you need. And so it's just so interesting. I'm trying to articulate what I feel here, but, and I don't think any of this is good. Like, I don't want this to be happening, but
we can take positive messages from the bad.
And we can remember when this is all over, hopefully soon, that when we get our, like, when we have our health, we really have everything in life, and that materialistic things, while they're fun and they're great and they do add to, like, a fun lifestyle, they're really not what's important in life. And sometimes I even find I catch myself not before Corona, I was, like, catching myself being jealous of other people for having these materialistic things that I didn't have. Like, oh, I want a Louis Vuitton bag, or I want a Gucci purse, whatever. And then this happens and you realize, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't matter. With your health, you're, like, the richest person ever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So just remember that if you're healthy, you're rich.
Yeah.
Like, in, at least in my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, that's what a rich lifestyle looks like, is just having your health.
Yeah. I think being able to take from this some important lessons is a good thing for all of us to do. So I think I was talking to someone over Instagram, actually, and she was like, I think this is a really scary but necessary reset button.
Yeah.
Like, this is forcing a lot of people to actually evaluate what you're saying, like what's really important, family, friends, health.
Exactly.
Nothing. Like, I have been so anxious about finding a new job and stuff. And like, when this all started happening, that was the first thing my mind went to. I was like, well, how is this going to affect my job search? How is this going to affect my moving? And it's okay that I'm still anxious about those things because I do have my health right now, thank goodness. So I'm still considering like, well, how is this going to affect like those more mundane things of my life? And I think that is a consideration for a lot of people. Yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, like if you are one of those people who's worrying about those things and then someone in your life, maybe it gets sick, all of those concerns go out the window. Yep. Like it's, yeah, like of course I need to be mindful of like having a job so that I have income and like exactly. having a place to live.
Yep.
But it doesn't have to be the best thing. It doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be the most glamorous thing. It's just like sometimes your job doesn't have to be like the most glamorous, perfect situation because like when you strip down like away all of the other things, like it doesn't matter. I actually tweeted
exactly
this like earlier this year. I was like, by the end of this year, I'm going to go to a Sunday service and the Kardashian Christmas party. And now I'm like, I just want to make sure that we like make it through 2020 and that yeah. like my loved ones are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to like minimize the way that I felt about those things because
no, it's like that you're speaking my brain right now. You're like, everything like, you're saying is spot on.
It was representative of, I was so lucky and like I was prospering to be able to want right. those things.
And I still fully believe that we should be striving for
those
great things yeah, in our lives. It's yeah. not just because you have your health suddenly like a good job and fulfillment and career. Totally, they don't totally. Just like not matter now. And also like concerts and fun experiences and luxury retail. Like it's still fun.
Right.
It still adds to our society and you should want to work hard to get those things. But it's interesting that now it's like now that everyone's health is in question, suddenly all of those things that once seemed so important are like second.
Yes, best. They're secondary.
Yeah,
for secondary. Sure. Yeah, like they're just trivial things. And I completely agree. I am never like 2 months ago when people would shame women for or anyone for liking fashion, I'd be like, well, that's stupid. I love fashion and it's so meaningful to me. But I think next time, you know, God willing, when this, as you were saying, like goes away or it passes or it gets better. And I start to care more about fashion again. Like that's good. But I need to always keep in my brain like, what matters.
Right. Like don't get too hard on yourself for things because you have your health.
Right. Exactly.
Right. It's not like you shouldn't want those things. It's just that if they don't happen as quickly as you want them to, or they're not, you know, you're not getting like the money or the job security that you are looking for immediately. Like it's always good to have in the back of your mind, I have my health. Yeah. So like I'm good.
Yeah.
And I will get through this.
I just realized we didn't really do Pit and Peak, which I know is fine because yeah, it's an abnormal too. Episode, but we can do it at the end if you want. Because I think it's good to talk about a positive thing that's happened.
Sure.
And even if your pit is not like all of the bad, right, like maybe it's part of the coronavirus.
So my pit of the week has obviously been my fear of not only getting coronavirus myself, but my parents,
mm-hmm.
my brother, my sister-in-law, my baby nieces, like they're not babies, but you know, young nieces. I'm just really, really scared for my family because if it happens to me, like knock on wood, I don't want it to, but if it does, I can handle it.
Yeah.
I've had the flu before. I mean, hopefully I'll be okay. If it happens to my parents, God forbid, I don't think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like I think I'll be like an absolute wreck. So that's my pit is just the fear of that. And then my peak has been TikTok. It has been so funny. So just enjoyable this week. People are so creative. People are so funny. Yeah. And it's really, I've noticed that every time I go on TikTok, my fears just go away. So it's been really nice.
I'm so glad that TikTok has been that for you. And it was before, but especially now, I think it's really bringing out a lot of your positive energy. My pit, I guess specifically, like it relates to Corona, but my pit has just been like, I'm a little nervous about them like suspending travel between states because a lot of people know that like my family and my boyfriend don't live in New York. So I'm kind of just like, where do I go? Because I think I'm a little nervous about potentially being in my apartment alone for a month. Like my roommate's also not here. She's in Philly. So I'm kind of trying to figure that out. But my peak on the flip side was on Friday, Chris came in and I went to Sarah's with our other friend Alana, who a lot of you know, and we just had like a really nice Shabbat. And we mm-hmm. probably wouldn't have been able to do that on normal nights because we weren't usually working from home. So we had plenty of time to like light the candles on time, make dinner. We had challah and like wine, and we watched a lot of music videos and mm-hmm. just talked, and it was really, really nice. Like, yeah. I think the environment of like being able to get together with just a handful of friends, because we don't want to like yeah. surround ourselves with crowds.
And my living room is pretty spacey.
Totally. Yeah. And like we all washed our hands as soon as we walked in the door, yeah. and it was just like we kind of just relaxed for a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is really what Shabbat is all about. And it's very hard, I think, for us to observe Shabbat just because it's like not, it doesn't feel conducive to our jobs and like to like the social media and stuff. Like it doesn't always feel doable for us. So being able to like have that experience, I think, was really special. And maybe something that would have been more challenging for us to accomplish if it was any other weekend. So
totally.
I'm really happy about that. I don't know what else to say.
I think there's like a million other things we could say, but yeah. I think we should call it.
Yeah, I think we should call it. We're going to continue providing content like as needed. Sarah and I are both working from home. So we also have like a couple other guests coming down the pipeline. So we're excited to share those episodes as well. I think it's like hard because a lot of influencers and content creators are going about creating content as normal, quote unquote, for them, because they want to provide a space that isn't like corona centric.
Yeah.
But it would feel a little bit irresponsible for us to do that because our entire podcast is about mental health, and like this is mental health right now.
Yep.
That being said, who's to say what's going to happen? Like, we might have episodes where we talk more about day-to-day anxieties, or we've yeah. interviewed a few people who are just like trailblazers in the mental health field, yeah. so we can get their insight on corona, but it won't all be like just this. But even if it was, I think that's okay, and I think people maybe need a space to feel like their anxieties are heard and acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. Very well said, Liz. Thank you.
So.
All right. So I think with that, you know, you can always reach us on Instagram or Twitter or, you know, TikTok. But you can always reach us seriously on our social media platforms.
Sure.
We're here. You can reach us on Instagram at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod. You can reach us on Twitter at It's Fine, I'm Fine PD. You guys know the story behind that. And then I can be found at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy.
On Twitter and Instagram, right?
Yep.
And TikTok.
And TikTok.
You can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height. excuse me. You can follow me on Twitter at LizTweets5. TikTok, I'm also Liz Height. And contact us anytime you may need it. We're there.
Seriously. Reach out if you need. And with that, as always, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye. We're not
high-fiving.
Air high five.
Air high five.
Bye.
It's fine.